Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the DDT Archives. I'm your host, Chris. With me, as sometimes, my best friend, everybody's best friend, my tag team partner in podcasting, Greg. Greg, what's going on, dude?
What's up, man? How are you? Please.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
I mean, you miss half of them.
Oh, stop. Please don't. Don't start with me now.
Should our whole audience call you daddy?
Not yet. I'm not predicting the future right now. I know we put these out in like far, far away, but no. Don't do that to me yet. I'm not ready for that yet.
With us tonight is a guest we have looked forward to speaking to for quite a long time. We needed an assist from our good friend Ronnie Bash Jr. because for some reason Punk Pro won't follow me back. Our friend who doesn't know it yet, Zach Romero, how are you?
Welcome,
fellas,
sir.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on, man.
I don't literally know if... as an ambassador of Punk Pro Wrestling and co-owner, I'm going on Twitter right now. I'm disrespecting the shit out of both of you, and I'm going to follow you officially as we speak.
Well, we definitely appreciate that.
Appreciate that.
You know, I tried the whole follow, unfollow, follow like 7 times to see if that would work. It didn't work.
Well, I was going to say, that's a fair try, but your great folly was we barely pay attention to that shit. So you might have done it a dozen times and we didn't notice, so I apologize.
No worries at all. We're big fans of Punk Pro. You know, as we talked about off the air, we've had probably half of your roster on our show already.
And that's saying something.
The other half will be booked soon enough, you know, which is a true testament to the work you guys are doing. Tell us a little bit about how the Secret Shows came about and kind of how that got rolling.
Great question. So Punk Pro has been, for anybody who doesn't know, Punk Pro has been going strong for about 3 years now. The concept of Punk Pro has always been we wanted to have wrestling that was 50% the best wrestling we could put together with the best people in state, out of state, and 50% the craziest shit we could come up with. And so just some quick highlights. We were doing Lego death matches at one point. We've had John Davis has been our top champion for over a year now, I believe. Troy Hollywood's been our secondary champion. We had Matt Kenway the champion. And one time, we had an 11-year-old fight Effie, and the internet wanted us shut down. So we've done a lot of crazy stunts. So Florida is a, we'll say, hotbed positively, cesspool negatively of wrestling talent. We are filled to the gills. So the pandemic happened. We had a lot of our roster was itching to get in the ring. We were itching to have shows. We had a huge amount of opportunities put together for WrestleMania week. Obviously, that whole thing got canceled. We had kind of a chip on our shoulder because of that. And so we kind of pieced together. We had some event space. We had a wrestling ring. We had a roster that was absolutely chomping at the bit. And so we put together 11 secret shows where we just put together the matches we could. And in an undisclosed location and release them all over YouTube.
And they are absolutely fantastic. So everybody needs to hit up the YouTube channel. I'm especially a big fan of the Get My Shit In matches. Yes. Which I had no idea what it was until Ronnie Bass gave me what the acronym
Gentlemen, you've dipped your toes into both independent wrestling and the more traditional stuff. And so, especially if you're going through, like, smaller independent companies, there's usually a scramble in every show. And it's, if we're pulling behind the curtain here, because I want this episode to be interesting. I'm just a behind-the-scenes guy. I'm not, you know, a top-tier wrestling talent. I'm just a guy who's obnoxious. But if we're pulling behind the curtain here, most of these independent shows have a scramble because it's full of either kids who are still really green, or tag-alongs, meaning I booked Chris and Greg to wrestle at my show, but in their car they had two, you know, green kids or two kids starting out or two kids who don't have names yet in the South, they tagged along. Is there any spot that we can fit them in? So that's standard fare amongst a lot of independent wrestling companies. So you have these scrambles that ultimately mean nothing. It's just, hey, there's a bunch of guys you don't know, and they're going to wrestle, and hopefully it's entertaining. So since the beginning of Punk Pro, we said, well, we're not going to get away from scrambles. I was always a fan of scrambles. I love the giant, like, there's a thousand moving parts. It's a Rube Goldberg machine of a match. I'm always into that. But we wanted to make sure that ours had an inherent excitement and meaning to them. We didn't want to just be like, hey, there's a bunch of names we threw together. So since the beginning, we've always tried to put some sort of title, some kind of trophy along with these scrambles. So that's where the Get Your Shit In scramble with the piece of Radical Rock and the gold medal comes from. So if you watch the secret shows, we have a few different Get Your Shit In scrambles, and they're all for a piece of the Radical Punk Rock, which is a big nostalgia boner for us, and a gold medal. And it's off to, it's won but never defended, so we don't have to worry about, you know, if people move on or if they don't want to, you know, compete in another Get Your Shit In, which shame on them. We always are ready to award a new victor of a Get Your Shit In scramble.
So I have a question. So if you have these tag along guys, have you ever found like a diamond in the rough in those people where it's like, wow, that guy is, we need to have him around a lot more?
There's been a couple, but the one that I'll name is the Amish sensation Levi Everett was in two Get Your Shit In scrambles at Punk Pro before he blew the hell up and became like a household name. And so we had no idea who he was. He had rode down with some other talents. And so we were like, yeah, you could be in the Get Your Shit In. And as soon as he came out and he shook the hands of everybody in the front row and got in the ring and put down his butter churn, I was like, I am in love. This is exactly why I want to be a part of wrestling. So that's our like big, like, we're going to hang our hat on that. But we had Effie was in a Get Your Shit In scramble. Like I said, Matt Kenway. I could literally pull up the list. I have the list of the shows, but I won't bore you with the details. But we've had Saif El Sabah was in a Get Your Shit In. We've had all kinds. And so, but yeah, I would say Levi Everett's the big, like, diamond in the rough of, like, oh my God, who knew? And became, like, a huge thing.
Fantastic.
So the female Get My Shit In,
yes,
was phenomenal. And our, well, my good friend, and Greg's terrified of her, Kylan King,
yes,
winning it was awesome. And it's all a joke. I make fun of Greg because that was the first interview he couldn't do. And of course, it winds up being our biggest interview, really, like at that point, because that we had released it on a Monday and she's on Dark on the Tuesday.
We didn't
had
know.
No idea it was coming, just happened to be. And she's incredible.
Yes. And you
talk
you
little bit about her.
You couldn't ask for better cosmic timing than that, than dropping the episode the day before. No, we've worked with Kylan on a few shows. And having female talent is nothing new for Punk Pro. We in fact, there was a show that we did, I'm trying to see what the exact one was. I'm trying to properly plug here as an owner. It was, I just got sad. I looked at the cards we had planned for WrestleMania. We had 13 Dead End Drive was a show that we ran in January of this year. And basically the entire show, except for the actual main event, was all intergender wrestling. Every single match was male versus female. And we didn't present it as such, meaning like we weren't, that wasn't the gimmick. The gimmick wasn't like, hey, it's going to be girls and guys. It's just we have a ton of very, very good male and female talent on our roster. So why not? One person who really stood out in that was Kylan. Kylan has been incredible. She's really, really coming along beautifully in the ring. She knows how to tell a story. And so when we had the idea, when we gathered up enough female talent for the secret shows, we were like, let's make history. Let's put our first ever all-female Get Your Shit In. Because we've had girls in our Get Your Shit In since the beginning, but an all-female one had never been done. So we absolutely wanted to put it on there. And as soon as she got in that ring, you could tell that everything got elevated. That it was like, uh-oh, the Queen of Crazy has stepped in for a reason. And so, yeah, she ended up winning it. If you haven't yet, go watch it on the YouTube. It is fantastic. And I was super thrilled that Ronnie Bass Jr. brought that up on your interview with him, that he was like, oh, this is the one you got to watch because it's the all girl get your shit in. So I'm glad it made such an impact.
And it was. I watched it that night, and it was absolutely awesome. You know, a couple of our friends were in it, you know, Kylan and Ellie, who is just a ball of fire like no one I've ever met in my life. I still think she's crazy calling out John Davis consistently.
That is very uncomfortable to deal with. to be putting together stuff for a secret show and have Ellie claiming that John Davis is ducking her, it makes for a somewhat uncomfortable air to it. It's absolutely been stunning to be able to work with such talents that are so good so early in their careers. And one thing about Punk Pro is, as much as I love it and as much as I like want to just hoard it all for myself, there are certain elements that I hope branch out. Like, for whatever reason, in our little neck of the woods, Ellie has superpowers. I can't explain it. None of us can. But she hulks up with this unbelievable strength, and she's chokeslammed dudes like 3 times her size. She literally has superpowers in Punk Pro. And I hope that like gamma radiation carries on. I want her wrestling at like, you know, in Ring of Honor and she's chokeslamming dudes. Like, that's my dream, is that the weirdness that happens at Punk Pro can branch out into the rest of the wrestling room.
So that leads me to another question, kind of off where we were going, and we'll come back to more specifics. As a promoter, how inspiring is it for you to see your workers just continue to elevate the business? Like Kylan ending up in AEW and obviously having John Davis, who was such a successful worker in ROH, and come back and kind of lead your locker room. Talk a little bit about that.
That is one element that has never changed. It's like, since the beginning of Punk Pro, you know, literally our first show was like, we were calling in favors. We had all kinds of people in our, here, let me run down. I'm not trying to just be like, rah, 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 but like,
it deserves it.
Yeah. Literally, so this was our first card, which unfortunately, of course, I'm going to sound like a liar because there's no footage of it, but it was, we had the Jim Nasty Boys. We had Mance Warner. We had Darius Carter, Jimmy Lloyd, Drennan, Serpenico. We had, Jaden Newman, Malachi Matthews, Dominic Guarini, Kurt Stallion, Ethan Case, Martin Stone, Davey Vega, Gary J, like a who's who of wrestling now we had in our first show in 2017. So since day one, everyone's been growing and going to bigger, better things, and we've been their cheering section the whole way. The only thing that irks me as a promoter is that we're doing things and we're challenging ideas and we're presenting new ways of looking at wrestling, and sometimes it still feels like we're just sort of like yelling at a wall. Like, I'll see posts like online where someone will be like, ugh, when is a wrestling company going to stand up and have men and women fight like it's not a big deal? And it's like, hi, we've been doing that for several years now. And it's like, when is a wrestling company going to have the balls to have a wrestler of color be their champion and be the face of their company? Hi, how's it going? For over a year, we've had 2 champions of color who are our main 2 guys because they're that damn good. Like, there are things, there are elements that it's like, I see that the rest of the world is demanding it, and we're like, yeah, we're doing that, and no one cares. I shouldn't say no one cares. There's not enough audience yet. I want Punk Pro to be so big and obnoxious that it can't be ignored.
Is it you yelling at walls, or is it the fans that are yelling at walls without doing their homework? They just want something to yell at.
That's true. I think there's absolutely an element of that. I think in any situation on the internet, if it's a review, if it's a video, whatever, negativity is always going to spread faster because people, that is a universal thing that all people share, is like, hey, we're all pissed at something. So the temptation to yell at something not being there because it's not right in front of you is always delicious to people. They can't pass it up. They're like, oh, this isn't exactly right here where I want it. There's something wrong in the world. Well, there's some bigger things. Now, in the yelly world's defense, Punk Pro mainly runs out of Florida for the moment. Before the coronavirus, there were over 61 professional wrestling companies running out of the state of Florida. 61! That is the most of any state in the country by far. So, there is an element of kind of, I feel like, getting lost in the shuffle a bit. So, once things are back to normal, we are very open to the idea of Punk Pro somewhat traveling, and that may help to get us in front of the eyes of other people. That being said, we've got a super wonderful, dedicated fan base that is very ride or die with us, and I thank them for that because we've done some real weird stuff, and the fact that they've stuck around is huge. And, Chris, to your point, John Davis putting our company on his back is extra impressive because that man does not stand for nonsense. He is not a man who jokes around. He takes his craft very seriously. And the fact that he accepts and enjoys Punk Pro for what it is, when it can get silly with time travel and superheroes and magic and get your shit in scrambles and pieces of soon-to-be cease and desist nostalgia trophies, the fact that he looks at all that and goes, no, yeah, I'm signing my name on that too, that is the biggest compliment to us, and that tells us we're doing something right.
So it's funny because John Davis is the only interview I've ever been nervous going into. And I wasn't nervous until he sat down with us and literally said, yeah, I've shut down podcasts right in the middle because they don't know their shit. So as a person, like, we do our homework. Like, I think if you've listened to any of our interviews, I do our homework and Greg follows in, which is the opposite of
our other show.
Other way around when we do our traditional show that we do. Greg has pages upon pages of notes. I just watch the show and chime in.
Yeah.
So we flip-flop roles.
Yeah.
To me, in order to invite someone onto my show, I have to know who they are. Like, I don't want to be an ass. Like,
no, of course.
Am I going to watch 1,000 matches? No. I'm going to watch a couple. I'm going to check out stuff. And it works. And when he said that, I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We had an absolute banger. I cannot wait to release it because when he was done, he was like, I had so much fun. Let's do it again. And for somebody that shuts down podcasts,
yeah,
I was like, let's go. Yeah. Like, that's an endorsement to us.
And it was funny.
And we've really only done interviews for what, 4 months at this point?
Yeah, because Chris even said to me after we had closed out with him off air, he said to me, he's like, I was really freaked out. I was like, I wasn't. And he's like, really? And I'm usually the one that's the nervous one going into anything. And I was like, no, I was like, because at that point we had kind of found our groove when we interviewed people.
Right, you had worked the kinks out.
We
had
worked the kinks out, and we have our format. And our format is really, don't talk a lot about wrestling. That's what we do.
I shouldn't say a lot of wrestlers. No. There are plenty of wrestlers who are sick and tired of talking about wrestling. And
yeah.
There's more to them.
But that's the thing. It's like we pride ourselves, and we've kind of given ourselves the moniker that we're the Wrestlers Podcast because we want this to be their, like, a home and kind of a haven for them to talk about other things instead of talking about the same old stories and same old questions that you get all along. We say that all the time. It's a broken record at this point on the show that we bring that up, but it doesn't matter. Like, we just have fun with it and see where it goes, and we want to know the person, because at the end of the day, I think as a fan, at least for me as an older fan, the more I know about the human being behind the performer, the more, no matter what they are, I'll be a fan of theirs, and I'll follow them forever.
So interesting that you bring that up. I've been somebody who has been a real stickler for promo work in this day and age. And I think you've absolutely come across, like, the nucleus of what makes a good promo, and that sometimes I think these younger wrestlers sometimes miss, is that human connection. Is the, like, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a mad scientist or you're, you know, whatever character or G.I. Joe or whatever. There needs to be a human element that people can connect to. And when you have that and it comes out in your words or in your promos, that's automatically going to make people more interested and invested in you. And so obviously you guys are helping these characters out by giving them the platform to be more human. But I just hope that they can carry that on in their performances. Because sometimes, you know, being in Florida with a million different, you know, wrestlers and 60 companies, you run into a lot of newer talent. And for some of them, it's like, well, I hit the gym and my name is on the ass of my tights. And I assume Vince McMahon is calling me soon. And that's it. And you go, well, okay, yeah, you've got a good start. But, like, why are people going to give a shit about you? Or you can't put, you know, that you do a good, you know, arm bar on a t-shirt. Like, you need a character to really have people connect to. And so I think you guys are doing a great service by letting people in and letting them see who these people really are. But I just hope they can carry that on when they're back to wrestling and not just be like, yeah, listen to this podcast episode because I'm really cool on that and you're going to like me. And hopefully you'll remember that when I'm wrestling and I'm still just an action figure in the ring. And it's like, well, you're not making it easy.
You know, I think I said it yesterday when I was interviewing. I interviewed a female talent from Spain. And we had a wonderful conversation. And one of the things I said was, by becoming invested in the person I'm speaking to, if they're a heel, I'm not going to go in and cheer them because I know they're a great person. I'm going to boo the fuck out of them. I'm going to DM them and say, hey, after the show, let's link up so I can give you a t-shirt.
Right.
Like, that's just, you know, and I think part of that is the performer trusting us enough to know that, hey, you know, we're going to give you who we are. Help us get where we need to go. And that's something that I take very seriously. And I know Greg does too, and I can't wait for him to start being able to come to shows with us, you know, sooner than later, because his wife is very, very pregnant.
Like, so, like, not even funny pregnant. Like,
is that, did the doctor say that? Did,
no,
like, check, I, like, checked I, her vitals, looked at you, went, sir, she's so pregnant, it's not even funny.
It's not even funny. We're, no, we're two weeks out less, so. It's
holy
it's,
cannoli.
Yeah. So that's why it's like, it's so, it's funny. Cause that's why Chris has been doing some solo interviews during the days. Cause she has doctor's appointments and I just went back to work after being off for 4 months. So that's another thing. And yeah, so it's been a little bit like the last few weeks have been a little like nutty to say the least, but all good things, and he busts my chops about it, but I know it comes from a place of love. Oh, it's fine.
All just, yeah. It's all just brotherly love.
Because
we've been friends for 34 years.
Yeah.
There you go.
So it is pure busting of balls.
And he's
if
just,
anybody else said it, I would rip their head off.
And he's just waiting for, like for her to off me in some horrific fashion, like on a TV show. Like, it's just the kind of that deal.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
You ever wonder why our feed changed on iTunes? It's because Greg didn't give me access to our actual feed and he got murdered.
Good to know. That'll be our number one clue to follow.
Absolutely. So you brought up someone that we interviewed real early. And at some point, I want to bring him back because now we know what we're doing. Jaden Newman, how talented is that young man?
Love him.
Ridiculously so. He made a couple of journeys down for Punk Pro when we were still running full shows. And so excited to get in the ring. You know, there's some wrestlers that come in and they're like, yeah, I'll do a little bit of stretching and I'll, you know, I'll see you in there. But the fact that, like, he was so excited to be in that ring and work on, okay, what's the story we're telling? Or what about this? Or what are you bringing? Because I can do this. It's just that excitement is contagious. And so, yeah, he's an absolute pleasure to have. And you know, he's made a couple of return appearances to Punk Pro, and we definitely want to have him back because I think the sky is really the limit for him.
He came across to us as first off, one of the nicest human beings I've ever spoken to, just uber polite, just wants to kind of like please everybody. It was very clear. But then you watch his work and you're like, this guy's, he's got something going for him. You know, when I tweeted out the other day, Jaden Newman is good at wrestling. That's it. That's the tweet. And I meant every word of it. Like, the
excellent
dude can go. So let's segue off wrestling and we'll come back because you being a promoter, we want to talk more wrestling with you than we do most guests because it's an opportunity to get your company over, especially in a different
yes.
way. So, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes.
This is going to be Greg's cup of tea and not so much Chris's.
Big time. Top 10 favorite shows of all time. Easy.
Outstanding. So, outstanding. Man of good taste.
I try.
So tell us, what drew you to it?
So, again, as I'm in good company here, actively graying each day. This beard is like four different colors now. I am old. I am in my 30s. And so when I was a little boy on Sci-Fi Channel on the weekends, they would play episodes of Mystery Science Theater. And I remember watching it at the time and definitely didn't get most of the jokes because they were like adults. And not that it was like an adult show, but they were like Midwest dudes making like, you know, kind of pop cultural kind of jokes that like spoke to them. But it drew me in so quickly. A guy, some robot puppets in a space station watching really bad movies. And I give that show credit for steering me in the direction that I have gone in terms of movies. I did my own bad movie reviews when I was in college that are still floating around on YouTube somewhere. Like, I have an appreciation for really bad movies. And to a certain degree, I try not to go too much in that direction. But I think Mike Nelson definitely inspired some of my commentary technique as well. I can kind of be smarmy sometimes. But absolutely. Now, Greg, I do need to ask, are you a Mike man or a Joel guy?
I'm a Mike man.
Excellent. Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because I just found he was just funnier. And I think I understood more of his references as a teenager than Joel. Not saying Joel's bad, but that show hit a different beat when Mike came on. And
agreed.
The movie is great. I love the movie, This Island Earth.
Have you ever watched the, we're going real deep in a rabbit hole here. Have you ever watched the making of Mystery Science Theater, the movie? It was on the Blu-ray that came out.
No.
It is the weirdest thing to watch because it's the most depressing behind the scenes feature that I've ever seen.
Why?
Because by making it a movie instead of the TV show, they had to deal with a production company for the first time. And so the production company came in and made a bunch of demands. And they were like, well, you have to redo the whole set because now it's a movie. And, you know, you have to do it this way and not this way. And you have to write less jokes. There's less jokes in that episode than any other because they wanted to give the audience time to laugh. So when you're watching the feature and they're like putting together all the parts, Mike looks depressed. Everyone looks depressed. Like no one's having a good time during all the press conferences and the hype for it. Like when they were going the press tours, people who weren't fans would ask really shitty questions. Like they were like, yes. Michael Nelson. Yeah. Question here. Why are you taking a shit on such a great science fiction film? Why are you besmirching it? And they were like, when's the last time you watched This Island Earth? And they're like, when I was 8 years old. And they're like, well, it sucks. That's the spoiler. That movie sucks ass. And that's why we're making fun of it. And they were like, oh, no. So it's just, they had a miserable time with it, but I still love that. I still think that's great. Now for me, I prefer Mike because A, I grew up with it. So it's kind of like a Doctor Who thing, but I'm a very snarky dickhead. And when I learned more about like the making of Mystery Science Theater, that really kind of flavored my favoritism because Joel was the guy who invented the show back in like the late 80s and he did it for a while. And then he got bored of it and thought he could go and do bigger, better things. So he left the show to go do bigger, better things. And Mike was the head writer at the time, and he's like, I guess I'll be the host. Mike Nelson, if you look at his career, has never thought he was above Mystery Science Theater.
He's always done it.
As soon as Mystery Science Theater was ended, they did like this weird, it was called like the Movie Guys or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was like another version of Mystery Science Theater. It's them making fun of movies again. Then that got canceled. So then they start Riff Tracks, which is a digital version of Mystery Science Theater where they're just making fun of movies. Joel quit Mystery Science Theater, tried to pitch some show ideas. They all fell apart. He just sort of like floated out in space for a while and then finally came back and was like, well, I guess I'll do my own version of Mr. Science Theater again. Then you had Cinematic Titanic, and then he grabs the rights and relaunches it on Netflix. So I like Mike because I'm all in favor of a guy who's like, this is all I've ever wanted to do, and I'm going to find out a way to do it no matter what, as opposed to a guy who was like, yeah, I invented it, but I'm bored with it. Well, fuck you.
It was very fortunate. There was a stretch of years that I guess got interrupted this year because of COVID, but Riff Tracks Live was always on, like, in or around my birthday in mid-August. So I was like, it was always kind of a birthday deal for me to go see Riff Tracks Live. But, and I remember one year I had, like, the guys over to just what we did a marathon with the DVDs I had. That's all I wanted to do. We drank beer and ate pizza and watched Mystery Science Theater, and it was great.
I must have missed my invite to that
one. Why would you have wanted to come to that?
Okay, so wait a minute. Hold yes. on, fellas, before we fight.
We're not fighting.
So, Greg.
Yes.
If you were going to show Chris an episode of Mystery Science Theater with the hopes of getting him hooked, what would be an episode you would show him?
I would show him 3.
Okay. That's a tall order already.
That's a tall order already. Space Mutiny. I forget the name of it, but it's the one with Rousedower.
Final Sacrifice.
Final Sacrifice. And then either of the ones with Joe Don Baker, whether it's Final Justice or Mitchell.
Okay.
If you put those together, those are some of the... Because the movies are actually kind of funny and watchable, and the jokes aren't... They're making fun of the people on the screen, not making obscure references.
That's an excellent, excellent trifecta. And good on you for not falling for the trap and picking Manos.
No.
Which is probably one of their most famous ones.
Yep.
But Manos, the Hands of Fate is...
Too awful. Weird for him.
So I'll be honest. I'm the one genre of movie I'm not really into is sci-fi.
But that's not sci-fi, though. That's...
Well, Space Mutiny is trying to be sci-fi.
Yeah, Space Mutiny is. But, like, Mitchell is about, like, a fat, dirty cop. Who's like bumbling and gross. So is Final Justice.
But I never turned on the show because of the name.
Because
it didn't seem like something I would like. I can count the number of times I've watched the Sci-Fi Channel, and it was when wrestling was on it. That's and true. Then there's like DCW some random there, shark attack movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a horror guy. I'm not a sci-fi guy.
Excellent, excellent. But the science fiction element is literally just window dressing for the show.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's just this guy and these two other guys are making fun of bad movies. So it's like a commentary track of jokes and slam dunks against a shitty movie.
Yeah.
See, that would get me into it because I love shitting on bad things.
That's exactly it. So
other than bad wrestling, we just don't talk about bad wrestling on our podcasts.
Excellent.
If we don't like something, we move forward. Unlike the rest of the world.
I was just going to say, that literally makes you like in the top 0.01% of wrestling fans.
What we like to say, though, too, is because we have our old school show that we do, and we don't like doing reviews because I can't stand that. We relive stuff and just try and find the good in it. And like you said, like we just did a couple weeks ago, we did like Extreme Rules 09. And we were just like, did you watch that? Nope. Okay, moving on. And we just like, we didn't even cover the stuff we fast forwarded because we knew it was terrible.
Yeah.
There was like a hog pen match. And we're like, yeah, we're just going to skip over that. Yeah, it was rough. Yeah. We'll just jump over that and move on.
I did see that you guys covered King of the Ring 94, but not 95. And I consider you both cowards for doing that.
Why?
Because 95 is the absolute dog shit year of King of the Ring.
Okay, so here's... Here's what we've learned from. So we had a previous podcast years ago.
Okay.
And we did take the dog shit shows. A lot more than we should have. Our feeling is, at least on my end, and I think Greg will agree, I want to build our audience to the point where now I can add in a show that I can shit on and not risk losing anybody that loved what we were doing.
That's because fair.
I my own brother, who's a wrestling nerd just like us, was like, yeah, you guys got to pick better shows because as funny as you can be at times, the shows fucking suck.
Yeah. And, yeah. And the other thing is we try to find ones that are sneaky good.
Like yeah, stuff, or there's like redeemable elements.
Yeah, like but also things that we're not naive enough to think there is a bajillion wrestling podcasts out there, and the really super popular ones do the same shit we do, and they do like the anniversary shows, they do the like 20th and 30th things, they have guys that were there to talk to them about it, and we want to do the more good but slightly obscure. So I'll just go through like cards and be like, oh, that looks good, that looks good, and then we bit us in the ass with one of them because it was like on paper it looked really good, like with the talent, but the show was awful.
Yeah,
but we had
that happens sometimes.
Yeah,
and, say, that's the tragedy.
Yeah,
looking at it, and you're like, oh, how could you lose? And
yeah,
I want to say Starrcade 85.
No, it wasn't. That was just a bloodbath. No.
Starrcade 85. First off, it's the bloodiest pay-per-view of all time. Not deathmatch wise, but right. Like anything else, like normal wrestling, bloodiest ever. But like there was a match with the Midnight Express against like Ronnie Garvin in drag, and I forget who he was teaming with. So we literally, instead of talking about that match, we just talked about the greatness of the Midnight Express because it was like
sometimes you got to do what you can to spin a new positive.
Go with something that's the absolute truth because they are ridiculously good. And, right. You know, so that's kind of like where we've kind of maneuvered to talk about what we love. Because at the end of the day, like, as much as we love people downloading, we're egotistical enough to say it's for us.
Yep.
You know, like, our interviews the same way, like, we dropped one this week with Simon Gotch, and it is, I think, one of the funniest podcasts I've listened to, period. Like, he was the best, like, in terms of being funny as shit, dry humor, just telling great stories, guests that people don't know it's coming. Because everybody thinks vaudevillain and right. Not Simon Gotch. Yeah.
And we had a promise, like, that was that was how we got him, really, because Chris met him at a show, and we had a promise, and we weren't going to talk about wrestling. and the only wrestling that came up was he brought it up. So it worked out great for us. But the show I was talking about was Great American Bash 91.
Oh yeah, it looked so good on paper.
There's like so much talent on paper, and it was just god freaking awful. But that's what was funny about it. Like, we weren't making fun of it. We were just we would talk about the guys on it. Because it was a lot of people that were great that we didn't talk to, we haven't covered a lot of, which is that's what's fun to us.
Well, let me put it to you this way, gentlemen: you are choosing to embark on an uphill battle. I dabbled in doing old wrestling pay per view reviews myself for a time. Then I started being more involved in wrestling and in backstage elements, and so I had to kind of let that go. But for every show that I would do a video for on YouTube where I was like complimentary and overall pretty positive, viewership. But if it's TNA Victory Road 2001, which ends with Sting and Jeff Hardy is on drugs, and I take a big fat shit all over it, bajillion views. So the fact that you are looking to go against the grain and you are looking to highlight positives and look at things in a different light is an uphill battle. The temptation to just take a big fat shit on things is always going to be there because, as we said earlier, negativity is that universal concept. Everybody likes to take a shit on things. Everybody likes to take the piss out of stuff. So that is going to be a hard-fought road for you, gentlemen, and I commend you for taking it.
But that's the thing. That's exactly what we don't want to be. Like, I will sacrifice listeners for my own sanity.
Fair enough.
Because you know what, honestly, and I know I talk about this a lot, but it's and you'll hear it if you go back and listen to our shows, is I cannot wrap my 39-year-old brain around watching 8 hours of wrestling a week and putting out a YouTube show, crapping on every single segment and hate watching stuff. I can't do it. I don't know how. I get it. And they have a format, they have a fan base, and that's what they expect. fine. That works for them. It does not work for me. And I don't think for a point it doesn't work for Chris either. We want to like highlight history, good or bad, as best we can. And our old school show too. It's not only we don't only do pay-per-views. We've done rivalry shows, which were a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, those are fun.
Which we pick out like a specific thing. We've done a couple watch-alongs, but those didn't go well. We're not going to do anymore. but that's the thing. It's like we just want to do, and we've done profiles of like a single person, and we've done Medusa and Barry Windham, and we like kind of gone through their career and tell their story. Things like that are fun to me. And it doesn't always have to be like, wow, didn't that suck? Like, what? Yeah. Stop. Like, come on.
That's
like,
very exhausting.
It's so exhausting.
To come up with new ways to say this was bad.
Exactly. And I love wrestling in all shapes, sizes, and forms, whatever it is. That doesn't mean it's all good. Like, some things don't click with me, and that's fine.
Right. And like you said, sometimes there's shows that on paper are a home run, and then in practice you're like, whoop, everybody shit the bed. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens.
Yeah, people have bad nights, but it doesn't make them any less talented.
Or just don't have that chemistry in the ring, and that's okay. Like, we thought the pay-per-view where we're going to watch Ricky Morton versus Robert Gibson was going to blow our minds. And it was like, no, they belong as a tag team. They don't belong against each other. Like, they didn't have that chemistry that we thought we were going to see, which is fine. Like, it happens.
But that's what we talked about. We talked about not like... like, it would be easy for us to say, hey, that match sucked. And, like, we said it in so many words, but it was more like we analyzed the fact that, hey, this is the greatest tag team of all time that are terrible opponents against each other.
Yeah, why didn't
they
this
also
work?
Have why? Entirely been so too much easy. Time?
Yeah.
You know, that's the other piece that we look at that people don't tend to talk about was, hey, if that match ended at 11 minutes instead of 19 minutes, I probably wouldn't feel the same way I do. You know, some of the coolest stuff I've experienced, if you go back and listen to our Nikita Koloff interview, which I'm still mind blown that happened. We really thought it was going to be somebody else pretending to be Nikita Koloff when he agreed to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But in there, he kind of dropped a hint that, hey, I'm going to be back in the wrestling biz sooner than later. And sure enough, now the Koloff dynasty is starting to take off.
That's true.
So I messaged him. I'm like, hey, we have the dynasty on. You know, thank you for kind of tipping it off. And he's like, when are you recording? I'll come back. And wow. I'm like, what? Oh, okay. Sure. Greg's going to find a way to get to that one.
Yeah. I'll do my best. And,
like, that's the part of us podcasting that I love is we're making friends.
Yeah, right. Like, you're making memories. You're making friends.
I like to think that if we went down to a Punk Pro show, the majority of that roster would be excited to see us.
Yeah.
Because they know who we are. We've talked to them. Like, and it would be awesome to be able to support in person. Right now, I want no part of Florida because you guys don't wear masks and it's crazy. Once things settle down, it is definitely on my list of shows to go to. One, because it's a cheap flight from New York to Florida.
That's true.
And two, because it's just such a fun, like, you don't know what you're going to get, which is the coolest part of independent wrestling.
That's what we're striving for, and I appreciate you recognizing that.
Now, the rocks that you give out for the Get My Shit In Scramble, are those like old Aggro Crag rocks?
Well, that's, I legally, I don't know if we can officially say that, but yes, that's basically what they are striving to
be. Yes, that is. I mark out more now. I thought it was.
So that's all. That's exactly what that's all based on. So let me go full bore here. So for anybody who's under the age of 30 in this demographic, there was a show when we were all children called Guts on Nickelodeon, and it was a sneak attack to try to keep kids active, but it was basically like super extreme sports and a lot of bungee cords, and it was filmed in Orlando. It was filmed at Universal Studios in Florida. And the final event that they would do on these shows is they would have these kids endanger their lives and climb up a big fake mountain with, like, pieces of rubble that would get thrown at them and confetti and shit, and whoever reached the top first won, and usually that ended up winning the thing. Like, even though they were like, oh, each event is points, it was like, if you won the aggro crag, then it was like, hey, none of the points fucking matter. This is all.
Yeah, because you would get a head start. If you had the lead,
true,
you would get a head start.
But
that's
I don't remember there being an episode where, like, the kid who's in dead last wins the crag, and they're like, great, but fuck you, it's still Tammy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure if you won the crag, you won the whole damn thing.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, they would give you this big piece of the mountain that you conquered called the aggro crag. So we call ours the piece of the radical rock, or the radical punk rock, and it was custom made for us, and it's a big dumb thing. And then we also made our own little gold medals that say get your shit in. And so each winner gets to keep that, and because they should all carry a piece of the patchwork that is Punk Pro. The company doesn't exist without them taking risks. And I don't mean risks in like, hey, you better break your neck in this match, but risks as in like, hey, it's okay to get weird. It's okay to try new things, and that's what this company is supposed to be for.
See, I think you should take it a step further and have a more treacherous tournament. And have whatever they would give away to the winners of Legends of the Hidden Temple, which I don't remember what it was because nobody ever fucking won that game show. And it was the most impossible mind screwing thing for two teenagers to go through. Like, middle school isn't hard enough. You have to have temple guards jumping out at you in a game that you can't win. It's right. Like the Kobayashi Maru of kids game shows. Chris doesn't get that reference, but that's what it is. And it's like, God, I hated that damn show. It's pissed me off. That guy in his freaking fanny pack.
A couple of suggestions have been made to Punk Pro. Number one is that it's been suggested that any previous Get Your Shit In winners should at a certain point be able to cash in their gold medals. And we do one big-ass all-star Get Your Shit In scramble where all the previous winners come in and we do one for, like, the Super Crag. Number two, it was suggested that we hold a tag team tournament, but to truly win the titles, you'd have to put together the Shrine of the Silver Monkey from Legend of the Hidden Temple, which would be impossible because no one could figure out that it's just three pieces. You just screw the head on. Preteens couldn't figure that out.
The international superstars are now the Silver Monkeys.
That's true. That's
or
true.
The purple parrots, whatever the
purple parrots. Yep. Green iguanas.
Yeah.
I could go through all of them. Blue barracudas. That's it. I'm not.
Yeah. That's it. That's enough.
I still, being 39, I love Double Dare.
Double Dare was great. So much
fun. If I had my druthers, if I won the lottery tomorrow, I would have Mark Summers be our ring announcer for all Punk Pro shows. Oh, I would retire as a ring announcer, and I would have Mark Summers do it.
I'd buy the big nose that you had to pick for the flag.
That's true. Okay, so instead of a ladder match, you do the physical.
You have
challenge.
To reach in and pull the title out. That's incredible.
Oh, I love it. Nose.
That's how you fucking put butts in seats.
Oh, man, that would be awesome. If you ever do that, you need to tell us. We will be on the first flight down.
I was just going to say, if there was ever a title that we could do that with, it would probably be the Wrestling Nerds Radio Network Internet Championship. Because Effie had that title. Izzy the Superfan held that title for a bit. Hunter Laws held it forever. It's been, like, duct taped together. So if there was any title that could be pulled out of a giant nose with green slime, it's probably that one. So we'll see what we can do. We'll see what the budget is for it, but we'll put it together.
We'll even do a free podcast for your VIP people if you want.
I would be thrilled. I would be absolutely thrilled. We would have like a media row leading up to where you could talk to maybe Mark Summers or myself, take pictures with the big nose. That's the VIP section.
That is actually my goal. I don't know if it's Greg's goal, but at some point I want someone to say, hey, do you want to do a pre-show for our VIP guests where you interview two people from the show tonight?
That would be amazing.
Yes.
For the podcast that I've run for wrestling, we've done a couple of live podcasts at wrestling shows We've done a couple before show. We've done a couple after shows. The key to both is to have an intern with you who can be a runner, because you're usually not like set up dead center when like wrestlers are coming in and out. You need a runner to go grab a wrestler and go, hey, come talk to the guys real quick. Because otherwise, you just stand there and you're like, hey, try Hollywood, a brief one. No, Kaifane, the grid. Okay, all right. Like, you got to have a runner there. That's my great advice to the two of you.
That is. I don't know why that's my goal, but it is. Like, good. I don't think, you know, I would love to make profit on this eventually, but for me, that would be the ultimate vindication of we're doing something absolutely right. Somebody saying, hey, we want to give you guys away for free to the people that paid extra money for the front row seats. Like, that would definitely be a tip of the hat to what we do.
Excellent. I'm all in favor of that.
Let's go back to Punk Pro and let's talk about what your goals for the rest of 2020 and what your hopes are for the next year.
My goal for 2020 is to not die would probably be on the number one on the top of the list.
It's a good goal.
It is.
Because the world is on fire and everything's bad. So that's goal number one. Goal number two, I would love to put together another secret show. We're putting together some options. We want to find another venue. You know, we want to go other places, and obviously we want to be safe. And as you pointed out earlier, Florida is absolutely not safe. We continuously set the records of new corona cases every day. This is literal hell, and it is awful. Please, someone save me. So that's short-term goal. I'd like to do another secret show. Truth be told, gentlemen, between you, me, and your loyal listeners, if I could, I would put together a secret show taping for October, and I would have the entire secret show be Halloween-themed. And I would have every wrestler show up in costume. That's the goal if I had my druthers. Now, that being said, that's pretty short term. I don't know. But long term goal, I want to run the big shows we wanted for WrestleMania, because I guess apparently Florida is getting a do-over for WrestleMania because, again, everything is bad. So I'd like to do that next year. I'd like to run the big-ass Punk Pro shows we had planned. I don't know. I just want more people to watch and more people to be challenged and things along those lines. So that's the goal.
I think that's a great goal, and realistic, too. Like, I think that's us being from New York, we have a very interesting perspective on COVID-19 because we were Florida before Florida was.
True.
Now our lovely governor likes to pound his chest and say how great things are. Well, as soon as people start taking mass transit again, this shit's going to blow up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it did help when we shut stuff down, you know, like I think I've seen going food shopping. I think the other day was the first time I saw someone in the supermarket not wearing a mask. That was the first time in 4 months. And now, granted, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I had to say something.
Good. I would expect nothing less.
You know, like, snarky, like, I'm not going to fight you. Like, I'm a teacher in my day job. I'm not trying to lose that.
True.
But I'm going to let you know that you're being an idiot. But really, like, that's the part. New York and New Jersey seems to get it. Down the shore, not so much. Like, didn't see a lot of people wearing masks when I was away on vacation. But nobody was on top of each other either. So
okay,
people
so kind of in between.
Like, I got made fun of for walking on the beach with a baseball hat on and my mask pulled up to, like, above my nose. Like, it was – my brother told me I look like a ripoff of Mustafa from the Gangsters.
Well, you know, everyone needs a good cosplay for the beach.
You know, like, but to me it was like, all right, well, I'm going to do what I do at home.
Right.
But hopefully Florida comes back down to earth. You know, I'm sure Disney World's not getting as much people as they would like to right now, which leads us to another topic you like.
Oh, boy.
Theme parks. Where's your go-to?
Great. Well, again, as I said, everything's bad and the world's on fire. But I've been a theme park kid for a long, long time. I was way into Universal Studios for a long time. The wife and I have been Disney people for the last few years. We've been running all that. Just to run down the quick bullet points. It's a bummer that Mickey's Halloween shit is canceled this year, but it's packed anyway, so we probably weren't going to go. Do I give a shit that Splash Mountain is being replaced by a Princess and the Frog ride? No, that ride doesn't make sense anyway, so I don't give a shit. Princess and the Frog is fine. I know I'm getting old because my favorite part of Disney is going to Epcot and trying all the food now.
Yep.
Instead of, like, going to ride on rides. And I've been to the new Star Wars area. It's pretty cool. Haven't been on any of the rides yet because the wait is like 8 hours, and fuck that. I'm too old to wait in lines.
Here's the thing with that. I was there last year, and it was about... It was about 2 weeks after Galaxy's Edge opened. So it wasn't that bad. Like, we went one of our last days, and we were there with my wife and my son and my parents. So I went, my wife didn't want to go on it. She had no interest. My dad was like, yeah, let's go. And my dad's not a Star Wars guy. He just wanted to do something. So,
yeah.
So we're looking at the line itself was about an hour. And then I looked to my left, and there's, like, the single rider line. So I was like, all right, let me use my powerful negotiating tactics and people skills to try and finagle. So I went to the guy, and I was like, and there's nobody over there. It was just two dudes talking. And I go, hey, guys. I was like, I know. It's just me and my dad. He's, like, really old. And can we just go this way? He's just like, yeah, go ahead. And we walked right on.
There you go. Nicely so, done.
I mean, it didn't hurt to ask. And right. the only problem was you haven't done the ride. So basically the Smuggler's Run is, this is not spoilers, so I'm sure you've read up on it. It's basically Star Tours with jobs.
Yes.
So we were like, we had our jobs, but the four people that we were in a pod with did not speak English, therefore did not understand what they had to do.
Oh, boy.
So we're going all over the place, and it was terrible, but it was fun and short and fine, but we walked right on, and it was magical. But, I mean, I'm wearing my Star Wars t-shirt now. I don't even care, but it was cool to sit in the Millennium Falcon cockpit. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you live the dream for a minute, even if your crew is working against you.
The coolest part is the staging area, because it's literally like the lounge of the Millennium Falcon. It's just there's the table with like the video alien
weird
chests.
Hollow chests, and you let the Wookiee win. And
yeah.
All that.
Yeah, and it's the walls and the floors, and it's dirty, and that's the coolest part. But, I mean, my wife and I are Disney people, too. We've gone 2 years in a row. We were going to go. We had this year booked for September 7th. And then, hey, surprise, we're not going anywhere. There's a baby coming.
The world's on fire. It's bad. Yeah.
So it was before COVID we canceled. Like, we didn't. COVID wasn't even a thing yet when we canceled, because we found out we were having a baby. So we were like, okay, cool. No problem. But. I mean, it like, we're very, very Disney people. We took my son for his first trip last year, and he was two.
Wonderful.
And it was like going for the first time, even though I had been 10 times.
Right, because you see it through their eyes, and they're experiencing it for the first time.
And we did a lot of cool different things, and I love it. I adore Disney. I love going. I don't care. I don't care who makes fun of me. It's the best trips. And
no, nobody should ever make fun of you for going to Disney. Like, I haven't gone in almost 20 years. But that's not because I'm like, oh, Disney sucks. No, Disney's awesome. I don't have kids yet. I've had the best experiences as, you know, a young adult. We went when we were 21, and we had, like, nothing's going to top that as someone without kids.
True.
In my eyes. Like, so there's no point in going, and not to mention my wife doesn't like rides.
So that's a lot of money to spend.
Exactly.
To spend more money, basically.
You know, but I also, like, Universal, I went 2 years in a row in high school with my baseball team, and they let us loose on Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Listen, the last thing you want to do is let 20, 17 and 18-year-old New York guys run free in Universal Studios. Nothing good comes out of it.
But excellent. I'm sure they probably changed several park rules based on your class alone.
Oh my God. We were, we had so much fun. and cause so much trouble. It was not even, we would put one person on a line and then 17 of us would sneak
in. You guys are the worst.
We were, my God. Because we only had a limited time frame. Like,
well,
we,
of course, you got to make the most of it.
Play more baseball. So we had like 6 hours in the park. Well, if we can try to get out of waiting in lines, you know, it doesn't make it right. I acknowledge this, but I was a young teenager having the time of my life with a group of friends. Like,
it was villainy for a reason.
Exactly. You know, we were assholes for just for being fun. But that was, those were always cool ass trips. And I would, like, the other piece is I'm a big guy. So unless I continue to lose weight, I don't fit on rides.
Well, interesting that you bring that up. I feel this is a perfect segue. The co-host of my wrestling podcast, Chad Allen, actually has started a YouTube channel called Fat Guy Little Park. He's also a large man. And so he kind of runs through, like, what is the comfort level? What is the accessibility? What is the, are they even going to let me on of several rides in both Universal and Disney for larger dudes? If I may, can I tell a quick ride story that involves size?
Absolutely. If you may, this is your podcast.
Yeah, well, man. I don't know. I don't, we're caring and sharing here. So, my father, is a bigger, louder version of me, if you can believe it. And several years ago. So, Greg, you brought up going to Galaxy's Edge like 2 weeks after it was like all open. I was doing this long enough that I remember that for Harry Potter. Like, wow. When they first opened up Harry Potter at Universal, and you had to go wait in like Jurassic Park just to get into the area of Harry Potter. Not even go in a store or a ride, just to loiter, you had to wait in line. So anyway, the family and I, mom and dad are big Harry Potter fans, and there's this ride, and it's got like almost like the roller coaster type seating where it goes over your shoulders and locks you in. But it's not a roller coaster. It's a row of seats with a big mechanical arm on the back, and it moves you around throughout this whole track. It's very interesting how it's built. So anyway, we're all getting on the ride. Hooray, hooray. We go through the whole line. We're in line for like an hour and maybe an hour and a half. Finally get there. Holy shit, here we go. And so my younger brother sits down. I sit down. Mom sits down. Dad sits down. Well, they, you know, ride technician guy comes over. He's checking everybody to make sure we don't fall out of the seats. And he checks Dad's shoulder harness. And he's like, oh, he pushes down on it and it clicks twice. And he goes, sir, it's got to click three times. I'm sorry, you got to get off the ride. Because my dad's got a big barrel chest. He's built like Donkey Kong. He's got a big barrel chest. So it was like, it couldn't click. And he's like, sorry, sir, you're going to have to get off the ride. And my father looked at this poor young man and went, I will be goddamned if you take me off this ride. And he pushed himself back in the seat and crushed his nutsack on the bottom piece of the thing so they could push down, get the third click. And he was like, let's get the fucking magic going. And so then the ride took off after that. But I'll never forget my father crushing his own manhood to ride the Harry Potter ride.
So funny story. When I was 21, I lost a ton of weight. And we went, my girlfriend at the time and I went to like Six Flags.
Excellent.
And I had been a big guy for years. So I'm used to asking, there's always one or two bigger seats that they steer you to. So I'm used to asking for that. Well, I sit in the bigger seat this time, but I'm 200 pounds. I'm not big anymore.
Right. The seat's not for you, sir.
Yeah. We're in the middle of the roller coaster, and it moves a little bit.
Oh, no.
And I am, like, holding on for dear fucking life, and I'm terrified of heights. I ride roller coasters for the adrenaline rush. But okay. The adrenaline rush should not can include fear of actual death. Yes. And I'm like, oh my God. And she's like, man up. I'm like, no, my seat moved. Like, I can't man up. I might die. Right.
Honey, there's urine actively leaving my body right now on the ride. This is not a manhood thing.
Scariest moment on a ride ever. But well worth it. Like, then I was like, ooh, I could ride normal rides. And that's my goal, to get back to riding normal rides. My wife didn't even know I liked roller coasters because it just hasn't been a thing. Because
that's an option right now. So, yeah.
I knew she didn't like him, and I don't fit, so fuck it.
So there
now I'm like, first thing we're doing when I lose all the weight is we're going on a roller coaster, and she's like, nah, fuck that. You can go by yourself. You can go.
I'll sit here and I'll hold my bag. You can go.
I'm like, all right, I'll steal my nephews. They'll get on it with me.
There you go.
They have no fear.
Excellent. Excellent.
Exactly. I mean, they're 5 and 9. I don't think they're going to meet the height requirements, but we'll try.
Put on each other's shoulders. Put them in a trench coat and put them on each other's shoulders. They'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. It's safe. It's definitely safe. What do you think, Greg? They're your neighbors.
They'll be fine.
The funny thing is, the 5-year-old would be the one that does it. Like, Joey has zero fear. Like, he's just like, whatever, let's go.
It's my godson for you.
There you go.
That's how crazy our family is. Yeah. Greg's in our family.
Good.
It's true.
Good. There's that chemistry coming back between you two. It's palpable.
We try. That's the part that's going to suck when he's actually on paternity leave. Is going to be like, I'm genuinely going to miss the dynamic of us playing off each other. Like, still have cool interviews, don't get me wrong, but the dynamic slightly shifts. We actually had one guest who I guess has listened to a bunch of them and said, hey, I'm sorry, but we're going to wait till Greg's back. And I'm like, all right, if you don't mind waiting till November, then we'll wait till November. Like, I get it. Like,
that's high praise. That's high praise.
It meant a lot to me because I don't mind. Like, I trust him enough to carry the flag if I'm not around. Like,
no,
it's
and
fine.
I mean, we do it for our show. Like, if there's a time where one of us can't make it, we'll do like the Barbara Walters sit down one on one. It's fine. But
yeah,
that's high praise.
But it's just, you know, it's such a wacky time for everybody, and you know, I don't really. My wife is less than thrilled that I'm even doing this right now. So
excellent. Glad I'm breaking up some families. That's
no,
good.
Not at all. No, not you. It's all 50 other of our guests.
That's true. You guys have had quite a full dance card this week. I appreciate you guys making time for it.
No,
yeah.
Please.
Listen, you were one of the first ones we booked for this week. It just happened to, you know how like sometimes you're just bored and you start scrolling through Twitter? Well, that was me Thursday night of last week, and I went through one of our friends' Twitter. She's currently wrestling in Japan. Hi, Masha. I know you're listening. And I was like, she only knows good people. She's a New Yorker like us, so I trust her, you know, her follows. All of a sudden, we have guests from Spain, Australia, New Zealand booked. I'm like, shit, we're going global. Let's go.
Yeah. And then goofy ass from Florida to really round out that Super Friends roster. That's where I come in.
Listen,
but you were the natural progression from like everybody else that we've had from Punk Pro. Like, we had to get there eventually.
True. I appreciate you guys making the rounds.
Of course.
Listen, it's a testament to your guys.
Well, that was the thing.
If they weren't good interviews and we didn't have fun with them, we wouldn't keep going back to the web.
That was, like, I'll tell you right now, just be honest, sorry Chris for interrupting you, our Troy Hollywood interview was the one that cracked our code, because that was when we realized that we didn't have to talk about wrestling with anybody, because we talked to him for an hour and a half and I think we talked about wrestling for like 5 of those minutes.
And in the middle of it, he turned it on us and interviewed us.
Which was hilarious.
It was the funniest. And I can't wait to get Hunter Law on. I know he was in the middle of a move, but he will be on eventually, too. Like, the two of them have a crazy funny dynamic, too.
And it's funny because, like, that was the one that cracked our format. Jaden Newman was the interview that made me realize that we were capable of doing this. Because that was really early. That was like our second or third one, maybe.
Yeah.
And that was super early. And I still had my reservations on like doing an interview show. And that was the one where I was like, oh, this is easy. We can do this.
Yeah, and I was like, he almost said no when I pitched it at first. He was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to pull that off.
Because it's out of your comfort zone. Like, I can do my homework and give a history lesson on a podcast. Like, that's easy. But, like, talking to strangers, like, not my scene at all. Like, it's just not even cool. But I think
to be true to yourself as a wrestling podcaster, there has to be a healthy heaping helping of social anxiety. And yeah. So I feel like, you know, as long as you've got that in your corner, it'll keep you honest.
Yeah. Can I?
I actually think I've cracked out of that completely. Like, I used to be super shy. Now I'm just like, whatever, let's go. We'll talk about whatever.
Yeah,
we talked about in Yu-Gi-Oh with Jake Shadows. I still don't know what Yu-Gi-Oh is. And this, but we talked about it.
And this idiot goes to me. He's like, "Greg, take it away." And I'm like, "I have no idea what that is," because he thought just because it was like blanket nerdism that I was gonna get it.
You got it covered.
I was like, okay. But
and Blanco Loco apparently gets really offended if you don't know, you know, the origins of Pokemon
or Pikachu. Yeah,
he does take Pokemon very seriously.
He does. Can I think, Zach, you could. I have to tell you, because we were going back to Disney, I have to tell you my coolest Disney story that I know you will appreciate. So it is the summer of 1989. I'm 8 years old. It's the first year of, at the time, was MGM Studios.
Yes.
I was there the day that the Muppets became part of the Disney family.
Holy shit!
And I got the Today Show was there. Brian Gumbel is there. A nice lady walked up to me and said, "Would you like to come inside the little, like, where the kids are standing?" Because he was interviewing Jim Henson. And I got to stand in this little, like, this little hog pen of kids. But I did get up and go and shake Jim Henson's hand. And that's still, holy to this hell. Day, the one of the, probably the most famous person I've ever shook the hand of, besides Fonzie, maybe. And
okay. Good close second.
Right. Yeah, that was really, that was as an adult. That was cool. But, I mean, just to be there for that and to see that, and it was really not short while later he passed away.
No, you're no kidding.
And
that was, yeah.
So it was such a cool experience, but I knew you would appreciate that because I just had a vibe that
that's
was
incredible.
He had the original Kermit the Frog puppet with him too.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I still remember it. And as
even
have
as you, have you watched, there's a YouTube series called Defunct Land, and they go through and break down like rides that are no longer a thing anymore and theme parks and
like
blah, blah,
River
blah.
Country.
Yeah. And, well, and they did a whole episode about like how much Disney was going to involve the Muppets. Like at one point it was going to be like, there was going to be a whole Muppet Land and the da 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 da. And then the deal fell through. But, that's to see some of that is really interesting, of like where they wanted to take things.
That's awesome.
And you usually hear that too every time somebody's like, "Oh, hey, that ride sucks." It's like, "Well, you could put the Muppets on it." And it's like, "Okay, I suppose. Yeah, maybe." Like they wanted to, there was a rumor for a while that they wanted to replace the Great Movie Ride with the Great Movie Ride starring the Muppets, and it was going to be the Muppets like shitting on these movies and stuff like that. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't really know how many of those movie properties would have been down for that." Like, yeah, have Gonzo fart on Casablanca. Like, no, I'm pretty sure they'd be a little pissed off about that.
Yeah, that is weird.
And now they swapped it out for a Mickey Mouse ride, so then it doesn't matter.
I was looking forward to that.
The merchandise for it is very interesting. My wife is she doesn't like a lot of like crazy ridiculous thrill rides. She likes like the mellow shit.
Mm-hmm,
so we'll go through and we'll watch like the HD videos that people take on the rides to kind of get like, okay, you can do this. This one's doable. So we've already watched the Mickey Mouse one like a dozen times.
Yeah, I'm like that too. My wife loves roller coasters. She'll do that. One trip we took about, it was maybe like 6 years ago. We went with her sister and her boyfriend, her sister's boyfriend at the time. And they did like the thrill ride corner of Hollywood Studios. So they did like the Tower of Terror and the Aerosmith
ride. That's my favorite.
And the there you go. Aerosmith coaster. And I was just like, "I'll see you guys later." And it's like 11:30 in the morning. And I just looked to my left. I'm like, "Hey, the beer lady's open. Let's go over here.
Let's do it." Yeah,
and I got myself an adult beverage and I walked and I was like, "Hey, Beauty and the Beast stage show's right here." And I walked right in with my, and I'm just the single adult male drinking a beer, watching the Beauty.
Nothing scary about that at all.
No, I kept to myself.
I hope so. Chris, as a brief aside, I wanted to tell a brief, my really only roller coaster story. So you obviously, being at Universal at a younger age, you remember the King Kong ride, correct?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they bulldozed that at a certain point because it was going to cost $1 million to fix the monkey. So they were like, well, we'll just spend $1 million and put a different ride here instead. So they put in a mummy roller coaster, a roller coaster based off the Brendan Fraser mummy. It's an indoor coaster. It's pretty kick-ass. So there's a scene in the beginning of the ride where you go into like this treasure room and the mummy's animatronic is talking some shit, whatever, whatever. But if you look on the left side of the treasure room, there's a golden statue of King Kong because King Kong used to be there. So it's like their little reference of like, hey, we kind of tore down a beloved ride and replaced it with a piece of shit. So that's like their little moment. Okay, great. I know this in my head. I go on the single rider's line of the mummy because I was riding solo that day. I get seated in this in the roller coaster seat with random people. And on my right is a very, very old man. And so the ride starts. Okay, everything's great. We get to the treasure room. Imhotep's talking. I nudge the old man next to me. And I go, hey, look over there. There's a statue of King Kong over there because this used to be King Kong and this is their homage to King Kong because that's the statue. It's the statue right there. It's King Kong. And the old man looks at me and he says, don't talk to me. And so there's a photo somewhere in the Universal database because they take your picture on one of the big drops at the end of the ride. And so in my row for that ride, there's like two teenage girls who are like, ah, there's an old man with his arms crossed. And then there's me looking very depressed at the end. Like that someone rained on my parade at the end because this old man thought that I was some weirdo filling his head with fun facts about the mummy.
People suck.
People are the worst.
They don't. Why won't they accept psychopaths? That's my question. I just want to share my very, very specific knowledge about this shitty ride.
If I'm talking to people on a ride or on anything, it means I'm terrified. Like, I think I told this the other day. Like, we went to a wedding, and it was like an October wedding, but it was on top of a ski mountain. So there's no snow, but we had to take the ski lift up.
Okay.
All the women went on one. They're all college roommates, so they all went together. And all of their significant others rode together. I had never been on a ski lift. It doesn't move fast enough for an adrenaline rush.
It is well, it's not a ride, you moron.
It is fucking terrifying. We are white. Myself and one of the other... now husband at the time, fiance, is white knuckling too. And so I just start talking to the people that are passing me.
Nice. Because excellent.
It keeps me from looking down. So I'm like, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. Hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. And my wife turns around and is like, will you shut the fuck up? And I'm like, no. Hi, how you doing? All the way to the top of the mountain.
That's a good strategy. So I have a story. I have a story, a short one, about the most scared I ever was on a ride. But I want to ask, Greg, what was the most scared you've ever been? Obviously, ski lift ride on is sort of our
on a ride
in general. Yeah,
Space Mountain with this asshole.
Now tell me. I am not
a roller coaster guy at all, but okay. I did it because. I had to do it. I had to go on that ride once. All right. And I
sucked. And you did it because you just talk shit
No, not even that. But I was willing. I was ready, willing. It was the one time in my life I was ready, willing, and able to. And I went on a roller coaster of that. And like probably one of the most famous roller coasters in the universe.
I think a famous man once said it's the oldest ride with the longest line.
That's true.
Yeah. I know that guy.
I know. Yes. I've heard of him. So I went on. Yeah, Space Mountain. I think I sat behind him too. So I just hung on for dear life, and thankfully it was dark, and I tried to my best to enjoy myself, but it was horrible.
Well, so as a quick aside to that, have you ever ridden the People Mover?
Love the Peeper Mover. We just talked about that with our guest last night, Casey Cattell. That's her favorite ride at Disney World, is the Peeper
Mover. I love the Peeper Mover. I also love the Carousel of Progress. Those are
it's the best.
But the Peeper Mover used to have a part. It goes through Space Mountain. It, like, carves down the bottom of it. And you used to be able to see inside Space Mountain from the Peeper Mover. It was, like, part of the fun. But then at some point, Disney decided, well, Space Mountain should just be in complete blackness. So they boxed off that so that the sunlight from the Peeper Mover wouldn't spill into to Space Mountain anymore, which is perfectly fine. That's great. They didn't think of anything to put there instead.
Yeah, it's just you're just in a dark hallway.
So now there's a part of the Peeper Mover where you're just going in a building and it's pitch black and you hear screaming in the distance and that's it. There's nothing else.
That ruined my son.
Yeah, when exactly. We were on. It's like, oh, and by the way, here's a dark void with nothing but screams of anguish. Enjoy yourself. Welcome to Disney. Have a churro. So my most scared story is I'm like 7 years old. My parents take me to Universal Studios for the first time. And much like you guys have talked about, even back then, you're spending a lot of money. You better get the most out of it. So we're going to try to ride everything. Okay, great. We ride King Kong. Wonderful. This was back, the Ghostbusters show was there instead of Twister. That's how old I am. Ghostbusters stage show, Beetlejuice stage show, Earthquake is there, and so is Jaws. And so we're in line to get on Jaws, and 7-year-old Zach, I'm starting to freak out a little bit. And I'm like, I don't know about this. And my parents are like, hey, we spent a lot of goddamn money to get here. You're going on the ride. And I'm like, I can't. I thought this is the shark and the thing. I can't do this. And so my mother looked me in the eye and she goes, look, you don't even see the shark. It doesn't even come up. You don't. It's just a boat ride. I go, really? She goes, yeah, absolutely. Now, in retrospect, this is probably 94, maybe 95. How the fuck would my mother know what this ride has on it? The internet's not a thing yet, so it's not like she, like, YouTubed the Jaws ride in HD. How the fuck would she know? But I'm 7, so I'm like, okay. So we get on the boat, and wouldn't you know it, they sit my ass right on the edge of the boat. I'm the farthest one out. I'm the one closest to the water. And that shark jumps out of the water at the first turn, and I shit. I lost my mind. I have never been so scared in my whole life. We get off the ride. I'm so mad. I don't speak to my parents for 2 hours. And when you're 7, 2 hours is a life sentence. I was so mad that they completely sold me out to this goddamn robot shark. Now, I tell that story because, like most trauma patients, I immediately became obsessed with that ride from that point on. And so I absolutely loved that ride in my later years. When they closed the Jaws ride to make way and bulldoze it and make it another Harry Potter ride, because Harry Potter makes money, the day they closed that ride was actually on my birthday. I have like a weird kinship with that old ride. In fact, the first Christmas that we spent together, my wife, my fiance at the time, she bought me the actual operating owner's manual of the Jaws ride, including the script and what to do if the ride breaks down. The first tattoo I ever got is the Jaws, and it says the line, in 10 minutes we'll be shark bait in 10 minutes. So what I'm trying to say, fellas, is that I'm a psychopath, and when you find something in life that inspires you or that interests you, go in full force. And if it's this show, if it's wrestling, if it's finding the positives in things, if it's going to Star Wars and dealing with a flight crew that doesn't speak English, or goals to lose weight to ride whatever ride you want, go in with both feet, because you can't have regrets. And as much as I was angry at my parents And then later we went on the Twister ride, and I found out later my mom grew up in Kansas and dealt with Twisters, and so she's like having a psychotic episode, and I'm like Damien the devil child. I'm like, good, good. A lot of trauma in the family after that. But bottom line is, go in with both feet. That's my advice. If you take anything away from this episode, it's that. And also that I broke the mold that we talked mostly about wrestling. That's what I'm leaving. That's what I leave you with.
This has been quite fun. I'm not going to lie. This has been a lot of fun.
I do what I can, fellas. I do what I can. You put on a great production here. Like I said, I spent a lot of time listening to old episodes, and you guys run a tight ship, and I appreciate it.
Which ones did you listen to, out of curiosity?
So I listened to I ran to the Punk Pro people. I listened to Ronnie first, then I listened to Troy, and then Ellie and Blanco, which I loved in Ellie's, like, the bringing in Blanco. I think that should just be a thing you guys do no matter what. Even if Blanco's never dealt with that wrestler, I think you should just bring him in to just try to railroad things. But I'm not trying to produce. I'm not trying to backseat produce.
I would have Blanco on every fucking one because he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's a very good guy.
Yeah, that was funny because she had no idea it was getting turned on her. She had no clue.
The best twist that we were able to pull on our show on the IndieCast was actually recently. We had the Rapture on, the tag team of Richard King and Jay Sky, who are super great guys. I would highly recommend you have them on the show.
Richard King, we sat down with. He was fascinating for a young guy talking about 1950s music. Oh, man, that was awesome.
They are good apples. However, 10 minutes before their episode, I talked to one of their significant others, and I said, anything weird you can give me on them, give it to me right now. And she absolutely paid off. She gave us such weird, deep cuts. And we didn't let the guys know, but we would just ask, like, super specific things out of nowhere. And they just kept going, well, okay. And then they would answer, and they would go, oh, what a great question. They had zero clue. They just thought we were the greatest, like, investigators for podcasts of all time.
I did that to Greg in our interview with Brittany Nicole from Elevate Pro.
Excellent.
And so there was a joke from when we were in middle school. She happened to be talking about her grandparents being coal miners in Ohio, and Greg got made fun of for being a coal miner in middle school because of some show where they talked about coal miners.
The State on MTV.
So I literally text her while we're recording, wait a few minutes, and then ask Greg why he hates coal miners. And it was fucking hysterical. First off, that episode was so off the rails, it never got on it.
Good.
It was a two-parter.
It turned into a two-parter because it was 3 hours, legitimately.
Jesus.
Almost. Yeah, it was like 240.
And it was all Greg getting made fun of.
Not all.
Sometimes you got to make your own fun, fellas. That's the key to life. But you got to make your own fun.
Every time she said something at the beginning of the episode, it was a sub at Greg without realizing she was doing it. Beautiful. Oh, it was so hilarious. But yeah, no, everybody we've had on, we wind up, I always say it was a great episode, and I mean it. Like, there's only been one that we didn't like. And not to
put too fine a point on it, but I think there is a certain excitement to that, and Punk Pro has kind of felt the same way. Like, every time we put on a show, we're like, okay, is this going to work? Are we pushing it? Is it going to get too weird? And then it's a huge success, and we go, oh my God, we did it again. It's unbelievable. So to have that kind of feeling where you're like, all right, we got another guest on, or we're reviewing another show, we're looking back at another show, and then it works, and you go, how many times are we going to get lucky? Like, how many times is it always going to be this way? Like, there's a certain element of magic to that.
I should have seen the one going wrong. She's the only guest we've ever had. Like, we get the, hey, what are we going to talk about question, which is fine. Hey, we're going to talk about this and then whatever else you want. That's literally, like, I sent you the message 20 minutes before the show. What are we talking about outside of wrestling? You know, that's standard operating procedure after the Troy Hollywood episode. She wanted every question written out in advance.
Dexteroni.
But we were so new to it. It was like our seventh or eighth interview.
If that.
And I was like, all right. And then I realized, like, half of what we're good at is taking someone's answer and following it with a question.
Yeah.
And when you tell someone these are the questions you're asking, you lose that.
Yeah, it becomes artificial. You lose that. You lose that excitement of being in the moment.
And she's also the only one that didn't like me.
Very lovable. How is that possible?
I can be a little bit of an asshole. I'll be the first to admit. I'm a typical New York Italian guy. Like, I like to have fun. I like to poke fun at people. But at the end of the day, if you're my friend, I am a loyal motherfucker, and Greg will attest to that. But I like to poke fun with him. So after the Kylan interview, we kept the running joke.
It was like Greg's it was literally the next day.
Yeah.
It was literally the next day. It was
like, hey, I need you to play off of this. And she thought I was bullying poor Greg. And it's like, no.
Meanwhile, like,
we've been friends for 34 years. It's legitimately a joke. And people outside of us might believe it, and that makes it fun.
And not to mention, I'm the world's best sport.
Right.
Like, I don't get up. Like, it takes a lot to literally get me upset.
You could see that today on Twitter if you noticed what I did. Because our friend from Spain wants the Tony Hawk game, but she didn't have the money for it. So I'm literally like, hey, we're going to get some wrestling mark to buy this game for you. But she also told me about how last week alone she got 10 dick pics in her inbox.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that sucks. Like, that's not fun. So I literally said, hey, listen, buy the game for Faith, but then send your dick pics to Greg.
Which, I mean, that's how modern problems require modern solutions.
And because I knew he would turn it on the person sending it to him. And it would just turn into a hilarious bit for us. And then she played on, and Greg wrote back, God, please no wieners. And then she sends back, like, I forget what movie it is, but the hot dog's being put on the grill. Maybe it's like sausage. But that's the point. Like, I know him enough to know where, like, there are certain jokes I know I can't make, as easy as they are. But I won't do it because I know that would actually hurt him. But right. One that I know he will laugh at, I'm going to have fun with. Like, Kylan played in for like 3 weeks. And this woman just, no, you're bullying.
Just,
like,
no, we're not having fun.
It's the only one. I listen back to all our episodes to try to get better.
Like, yeah, of course, you got to study.
Legitimately do. That's the only episode I refuse to listen to.
Yeah. I already ran into those. The IndyCast has been going on for like 7 years now. So we've definitely had our fair share of, like, hey, someone's not playing along. You know, it comes with the territory, unfortunately. So kudos to you guys to be able to work through it. And like I said, it unfortunately comes with the territory.
Yeah, but again, it made us better at what we did. If somebody says, hey, I want the questions, hey, listen, completely understand, but that's not really what we do. So I appreciate your time, you know, go another route. You know, like, to me, like, it's just easier that, like, I don't want to give you the questions in advance. Like, I'm sorry.
It's going to stifle the creativity.
And it sounds like I'm on the news trying to interview you.
Right, exactly.
Just have a conversation. That's what we want to do.
Fair enough.
So, anyway, listen, plug everything. Your podcast, your show, Punk Pro, everything.
All right, so let's see. At the top of the list, obviously, we talked about a lot this episode, Punk Pro Wrestling. You can find us on social media. Definitely look for us on YouTube. All 11 episodes of The Secret Show are on there. Definitely, I didn't even get into merchandise. I help run Fully Gimmicked, which is a merchandise brand for all kinds of different independent wrestlers. So fullygimmicked.com. Go grab yourself some kick-ass John Davis shirts.
We're going to talk about that off the air.
So who knows what merch you might be finding here in the near future. We'll leave it at that. So fullygimmick.com, pick up all kinds of merch. We don't suck. I also, the IndyCast is part of the Wrestling Nerds Radio Network. It's a pop culture and wrestling podcast we've been doing for 7 years. This week we're going to be dropping an episode. We interviewed Boomer Hatfield and Molly McCoy, who are two young up-and-coming sports-themed wrestlers. And they also had a big argument about cheesesteaks on our episode, which was pretty great. Last week, we did a huge debate bracket about what are the greatest wrestling promos of all time. go listen to that. And then finally, I do host, I co-host a horror movie podcast called Frightful Failures with my friend Tien Guignol, and we basically take an old horror movie that sucks, a new horror movie that sucks, we compare and contrast, and then we discuss how we're going to fix them. So go look up Frightful Failures on Spotify, or not on Spotify, on SoundCloud. And you can find me on social media. I'm at FG Zach Romero on Twitter. I'm old. I don't really tweet much interesting things. Like, look at Punk Pro and Fully Gimmick. That's going to be a little more interesting. And then if you want, I have old videos on YouTube. You can go look me up. I'm very obnoxious. But that's it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for having me on. We eagerly await. We have two seats or and maybe a baby booster seat if needed reserved for the two of you at any Punk Pro show you guys can make it down to. You guys are always welcome, and I appreciate the opportunity and to continue the legacy of Punk Pro synergy along with DDT Archives. You guys are amazing, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
It's our pleasure, for sure. You can follow us at DDT Archives on both Twitter and Instagram. Please follow us on Instagram. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm really not good at it, but I will get better if you follow us. You can follow me at Chris_DDTHSLB on Twitter. I will interact with you. I will make fun of you. We will have a good time. With that, thank you so much for joining us, Zach. It has been a pleasure, and we look forward to continuing to bring the best content. Have a great night, everybody.